Lafayette Cemetery No. 1 was established in 1833 and named for the city where it was located. Lafayette No. 1 is a municipal cemetery, owned and operated by the city rather than by a church, and it's the third oldest cemetery still standing in New Orleans today. 27 or more nationalities are represented in its interments. A look at the names on the tombs will reveal some of the more common birthplaces. Many of these tombs belonged neither to French-speaking Creoles nor to English-speaking Americans, but to immigrants from many places. Immigrants tended to live around the northern and southern edges of Lafayette, areas too close to the swamps or to the port to be desirable for wealthier residents. Today, these areas aren't considered part of the Garden District. To the north, where you would have found an Eastern European Jewish population, is what we call Central City today, while to the south lived Irish and German immigrants in what today is called the Irish Channel. If you take a walk down the center aisle, look at the fourth tomb on the right, where the Searcy family buried three children in 2 days. Yellow fever epidemics caused many such tragedies in 19th century New Orleans, particularly among newcomers to the area, like most of the residents of Lafayette, who lacked exposure and immunity to the region's diseases. Most tombs in the cemetery, like this one, are family tombs. Many of the monuments have a single name written across the top, usually a head of household who originally built the tomb, and you'll often find his surname repeated through many of the inscriptions below. The above-ground style of burial you see practiced in this cemetery is historically the norm in New Orleans, going as far back as the late 1700s. And while this particular cemetery is sparsely used today, the traditional method of above-ground burial is still common across town and across South Louisiana. While New Orleans is famously a low-lying city with a high water table, elevation and groundwater weren't the original justifications for adopting above-ground burial. New Orleanians were buried in the earth for most of the city's first century of life, and we only switched to above-ground burial when France and Spain led the way. So it was fashion, more than practicality, that motivated the switch. At first, the inhabitants of Lafayette, mostly born outside Louisiana, brought with them a tradition of in-ground burial, but gradually switched to the local practice over a few decades. When you see 10 or 20 names written on a single tomb, it's easy to wonder where all those people are, considering the modest size of these monuments. For one thing, the tomb is bigger than it looks. Most of them go several feet into the ground. A typical family tomb has between 1 and 3 vaults behind its front plaque. Burying someone inside means removing the plaque and opening one of the vaults. These brick structures have the effect of magnifying and prolonging the Louisiana heat. And with the high temperatures inside, biodegradation speeds up, typically running its course in a year, much faster than would be the case with an in-ground burial. For a long time, cemetery rules required vaults to be left sealed for a full year after an interment. The next time the vault was opened and a new body put in, the bones of the last body would be removed and transferred down to the underground space mentioned earlier. So it's a 2-step burial process. The first step happens after the funeral, and the second step happens a year or more later, when the vault is needed for someone new. Head a little further along the center walkway until you reach the crossroads at the center of the cemetery. On the right side, you'll see the Jefferson Fire Company tomb, a huge 28-vault monument with a relief on the top depicting an 1850s fire truck. This is a society tomb, a structure built and owned not by a family, but by an organization, in this case, a fire company. All kinds of professional and social organizations built society tombs, with affordable burial being one of the benefits of membership. While some of them are large, it's not always the case. You can find a smaller 12-vault fire company tomb just across the right-hand path from this one, and a short way along the left path, you can see a 4-vault society tomb designated for use by an orphanage. If you want to keep exploring the cemetery, you can find some highlights by continuing down the center path. Turn right on the second-to-last row. A few steps down on the left, you'll find a large cast-iron tomb reading Karsten Diek on the front. The design of this tomb was the basis for the tomb belonging to the vampire Lestat in both the novel and film versions of Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire. Anne Rice took lots of inspiration from the neighborhood where she grew up. We'll see 2 homes she lived in, renovated, and wrote about further along in the tour. And her fame and stature in New Orleans helped a local cemetery preservation nonprofit, called Save Our Cemeteries, to fundraise for the restoration of this tomb in 2016. Besides Interview with the Vampire, footage shot in this cemetery can be found in the film Double Jeopardy and the TV show NCIS New Orleans. Parts of American Horror Story Coven were shot in nearby Lafayette Cemetery No. 2. Fans of the TV show The Originals will recognize the gate of the cemetery, but like most of the show, scenes ostensibly set inside the cemetery were shot on sets in Atlanta. And finally, and maybe most notably, you can see a game of hide-and-seek set in this cemetery in the music video for The Right Stuff by the New Kids on the Block. When you're ready, exit the cemetery where you came in, on Washington Avenue, and walk left, back to Britannia Street. Turn right on Britannia and proceed one block, where you'll see a fence with a cornstalk design on the right.